Open your Bibles tonight to our main text, our golden text is in found in Deuteronomy chapter 8. But tonight we're going to deal with how to qualify for prosperity. You know, I said later on this week to come, my wife and I, matter of fact, my wife said to me, we were in the bedroom talking, and she said she's going to draw up some contracts and pass them out. Some contract that we have used, and she know how to draw them up. I just sign them. And we have accomplished great things through those contracts. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, again, I want to read for your listening. In verse 7, it says, "For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountain and depth that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of all olive and honey." See, all that talking about a prosperous land. All your needs met. "A land where thou shalt eat bread without scarceness." That's where we're trying to get from. Amen? "Thou shalt not lack" what? Anything. Are you with me? I mean, Deuteronomy 8 and 9. Deuteronomy 8 and 9. I didn't give you time to get there. I'm going anyway. "And land whose stone are iron, and out of whose hill thou mayest dig brass." Then he warned us in the 10th verse, "When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandment and his judgment and his statute which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full," and that's the reason he got to get you to qualify. If the Lord do not get you to qualify for prosperity, you'll kill yourself. See? So he has a governor or a qualifying factor on godly or the God kind of prosperity that everybody has to pass the test if they want that prosperity. All right? Now, he says, see, verse 12, "Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when thy herd and thy flock multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all thy head is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up." Now the Lord, that's what happened to Satan. See, he don't want you to get in a position where your heart be lifted up. He wanted to put you in a position where you're prosper, but you'll know how to handle the prosperity without being lifted up. Are you listening to me? "Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord," and forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. See, he bring you out. He'll bring you out of poverty, but he don't want you to forget him. "From the house of bondage." Oh my God, if that is such a good example of being financially unstable, the house of bondage, isn't it? Yeah, you're just in bondage. I mean, when you don't have your need met, you don't have finance to meet your need or just to do some things you want to do, you're in the house of bondage. And over 75, I'm going up every day, 85%. It might be managed clothes. I'm telling you, very few in the body of Christ have got a hold of this thing. They're still in the house of bondage. But, and then he talks about how he led him through the wilderness and that, but look in the 17th verse, he says, And thou say in thine heart, "My power and the might of mine hand have gotten me this world." That's trouble there. "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power." He giveth thee what?
Power.
Power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is in this day. Now, just turn to the 35th Psalm. Let's read that. Those two verses, and we're headed in the direction we're going tonight. Have you been getting anything out of this? Boy, I tell you, we've been pounding the scripture on money. You'd be broke after this. That shame on you. You know what I'm saying? Over a protracted period of time. Now, not going to happen overnight because you didn't get in debt overnight. But if you keep working the principles, you'll come out of this situation. I can promise you that. Even though we also made a challenge to our congregation. I don't know if I did it in both services. But we said you had a money-back guarantee. You tied for 90 days and if things don't change, come back and get your money back. Isn't that something? Yeah, I believe that. I believe things will start changing for you. If you tithe and by faith do things what's right. Let them, in Psalm 35, verse 27, it says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. You see, now there's a clause in there. That's a qualifying factor. If you look at all of these blessed verses, and each one of them have a qualifying factor. You see, let them shout for joy and be glad. How'd Jake say that? Jake said, you know, TJJ, woman down or loose from thy infirmity. Jake said something about, wait a minute, he said, don't dress better than you give, and don't shout better than you live. That's pretty good. That's good preaching. Yeah, don't dress better than you give, and don't shout better than you live. I borrowed that from Jake. Now I'm going to give him credit this time. Next time it's going to be mine. Let them shout for joy and be glad. Notice there's a qualifying factor there. That favor my righteous cause. Now I can tell you in every scripture that God tells us about being prosperous, he has a governor in it. He has a qualifying factor. And that qualifying factor keeps you from destroying yourself because it put first things first. It puts you in a position that you love God more than you love anything else. And by loving God, when you do elevate, when you do get into those high places, or God do begin to bless you, you're still stable. Yeah. Can you see that? Yeah. It's wise. It's just like our wise father to put us in a position not to kill ourselves, not to hurt ourselves. He put us in a position where we love him, and by loving him, we will not destroy ourselves when the blessings begin to come. We will not separate ourselves from him. So therefore, he said, now, you can shout for glory and be glad, but he said, that favor my righteous cause. See, that's a qualifier there. That favor my righteous cause. Well, favoring his righteous cause, it has to include tithing. It has to include giving to the furtherment of the gospel, because that's his most righteous cause, is that sinners be saved. Yeah. Yeah. And sinners really can't be saved without money. Because you need to send out people to do it. You need to send out pamphlets. You need to have buildings to have crusades in. Think about Billy Graham. All the hundreds of thousands of people who've been saved under the ministry of Dr. Graham. We see only Dr. Graham standing up and making his invitation and preaching a simple evangelistic message. And he had an anointing on him. He has an anointing on him for that. And thousands of people move at his invitation. But you don't know all the groundwork. People have been in the city weeks ahead of time praying and organizing and negotiating, getting the finances to get those big auditorium, because it takes money to run those auditorium. Amen? So he said, that favor my righteous cause. Yeah, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So the Lord do have pleasure in our prosperity. But we do have to qualify. Now, I'm going to talk about how to qualify for prosperity. I really don't have a whole lot of notes on this because the Lord just told me to talk about it. Yeah. And thank God I don't have none sometimes. And I was told to ask you, do you qualify? My goodness. I mean, you may be asking. You may be talking to the Lord about it. You may be saying, hip, 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 hooray. But the Lord said, no, propose this question before them. Do they qualify for godly prosperity? Now, one thing, the enemy has tried to talk us out of it, telling us poverty is godliness. We need to go over that over and over again, because that's not real. Poverty is not of God. Poverty is of the devil. The Bible says, listen to it. Turn to it, Galatians 3. And we'll read it over and over again, but Galatians 3. The Bible talks about in that 13th verse, Christ has redeemed us. Now, I'm about to say some things that are very smooth to you, that will set you up. Now, I need to set you up tonight because I'm going to set you up, and then I'm going to tell you how to qualify to prosper. And if you don't prosper, then it's not going to be my fault. It's not going to be this church's fault. And it's not going to be God's fault. It's not going to be the devil's fault. It's going to be your fault. Right? Yes. If I show you how to do it. Now, listen. Listen, you had Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, the curse of the law is threefold. It's the second death, it's sickness, and it's poverty. But through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians 6:20, you are bought with a price. And so he said there at the beginning of the verse, therefore glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 6:20 now, just hold Galatians. Therefore, you don't need to turn that. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God. You're bought though. You're paid for. Your prosperity is paid for. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Now, I asked the question, do you qualify to prosper? And you might say, yeah, I'm a child of God. That don't qualify you completely. And we're going to see that from the scripture. Now, listen, listen again. Listen to the illustration I began telling you. You are on the team because you're a child of God. You made the team. You understand that?
Yeah,
you're on the team, but it does not necessarily say you're playing in the game. Now, you could play if you practice hard enough. Practice what? Practice God's word. Practice doing what he told you to do. You know, get up and make a little hoop shot. Practice, you know, doing exactly what he told you to do. Whatever he tell you to do in the aspect of qualifying for prosperity, you're going to have to practice to play the game. See, everybody on the team don't play. Some of them boys, man, they hold the bench. But thank God you're on the team. You do get some sprinkling. Amen. But if you really want to be... make some points and bring some scores into the body of Christ, you need to qualify. You need to go ahead on and that's what scripture we're going to look at tonight. I just read Galatians 3:13 to let you know you're on the team. And just what we'll read a little further down because I want you to see something there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. I tell you, and you know, I've told you years ago, the more you egg me on, you know, the more the Holy Ghost can come out and things come on. I mean, the better you receive, you see. Yeah, I know the Lord. See, the Lord, see, you're appreciating it. So he'll pour out more. Amen. I believe he's going to show us some things tonight. That's what I do it on Sunday night. Hallelujah. Now, in Galatians 3, I want to show you this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is the one that hung on the tree. Now, that the blessing of Abraham might. Oh, goodness. I thought this was an automatic thing. I thought because I got baptized with water and shook the preacher's hand and took communion, all that the Bible says is mine. It is, but you got to qualify. At this point, I'll show you another amazing thing. Put your finger there. Just go back to John's gospel. Yeah, just going back to John's gospel. And keep your finger there. John 10. We got to qualify. Now, most Christian has not qualified because they have not heard. Are you listening to me? Notice in John 10:10, the Lord Jesus Christ himself says in that 10th verse, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they... You know what might mean? Might mean might not. Yeah. And it seemed that in the body of Christ, I got a many might not. Might not never see the goodness of God on this side. They'll see it in heaven, then they don't need nothing. You know, if it was possible in heaven And I don't think it would be, but if it was possible in heaven, I guess people just go to slap them on themselves. Fool, you know, missed all the blessings of God down here on earth and could have enjoyed themselves down here, had a good time going the way to heaven. But you notice, might, I'm come, he didn't say I'm come, and you're going to have life more abundantly. He didn't say it. No, he didn't say it, my sister and brother. He didn't say, I just because I've come, you're going to have life more abundantly. No, he said, I come that you might. That way you come in there now. That you might. You got to come in here, see. You got to, listen, you have more to do with your prosperity than not in God has. Are you listening to me? Now, he said, I'm come that you might have life. Now turn right back to the Galatians. Listen. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile through Jesus Christ, that we might. Hey, oh, my goodness. That's the word twice. Everybody say might.
Might.
You might make it and you might not make it. You might be broke the rest of your life being a Christian. See, so that's why I want to deal with qualifying, because I want to change these might into reality. Yes. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
You notice that now, that's three times we've seen might. I bet you we run a little trail, we'll find might in many places, or word adjacent to it, or word in the same category as might, because he's setting up, the Lord is setting, you know, the Bible's in code. That's divine. You got divine codes in the Bible, so other people can't tap in on it but the Christian. It's a code book, and it's a book made only for the body of Christ. And the blessings in here belong only to those who cross over. Everybody can get in. Boy, you've grown some. Everybody can get in. But the book is made for those who qualify, you see. So we want to get rid of the mites. I don't want to go around might prosper. Because always might not right behind me. I want to get as far away from might not as I can.
Amen.
And that's what I want to do for you tonight. You say, well, how long are you going to preach tonight? We've been coming here now. I don't know. Might preach a long time, might not preach too long. Might. You see the difference there? Yeah, might not. So what are you, a might or a might not? See, you have to qualify. You see? One, you know, we have had the concept, you know, I'm a Christian, so God's just going to pour it out on me. I'm just going to pray and stay all day. And God's going to give it to me. No, he's not. No, you got to bypass Satan. See, God said those qualifications for you to bypass Satan. It's like being on a team. You know how the other guy play. And you're really going to be a good player, and you won't get down and cross that line playing football now. I don't know much about football, but I know when the man crossed the line, it mean points. And you know how the other guy to tackle, how fast he is, how fast he can run, how you can duck him, you know. And you just get to right up to him and duck him on out. You know he's slow, just going out and running and going across the line. Well, you have to know how to get by Satan. Satan is here to cut your prosperity off. See? See, the Lord had told me, and you had to get the tape, this is your first time, on money cometh. We're talking about actually one part of prosperity. Money, but you know, I was talking to the Lord, you're actually going to have to qualify in the other part to get the money. Now, in the other word, might is used twice here. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile. Say this with me, that the blessing of Abraham, say might.
Might.
What might mean? Might not. Yeah. It's possibility. It's a possibility, but it does not say it's necessarily going to happen. Can you understand that?
Yes.
That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And you see, faith is involved here. Yes. Now, let's go back to this old familiar passage as we begin to walk in qualifying in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You see the clarification of being on the team, but really sitting on the bench? Many believers are on the bench when it comes down to prosperity. Now, they can jump up and shout and wave their hand and holler and make a lot of noise and talk about what we're going to do. But when it's time to put the horse before the wagon, they're not there. Why? Because they're not able. See? And you know, there are going to be persecution. There are going to be people if you're going to go ahead on and act like God told you to act. And then you got so many who are not acting to act out. They think you some kind of foreign matter. You know, because you want to live the Bible now. I just want to live the Bible. No, you can't be there. That's not the Bible. You the Bible the other way. See, because they've been living the other way so long. Now listen to Isaiah 1:19. I mean, let's read that together. Very familiar verse. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But notice the next one. See, if you obey, you eat the good of the land, but if you refuse, you rebel. Now, I'm going to show you that there are some things, in order to qualify for prosperity, you have to turn down. Just turn over to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Then we'll come back to the positive aspect of some things you need to do in order to get prosperity flowing, godly prosperity, godly finances flowing in your life. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm prosperous.
I'm prosperous.
How many of y'all desire to go all the way and really be prosperous in the Lord? I mean, see, we're not talking about, hold your hand away. Don't put your hand. Don't give me one of them hip, 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 red. You know, the Lord wants you prosperous. He wants you prosperous financially. And as a pastor, I want you to prosper. And those of you in business, I want your businesses to prosper. We're not here to get money out your pocket. As I hear John Osteen say, and I'm saying it also, we're here to put money in your pocket. I tell you, in this world, you need money. How many amen I can get on that?
Amen.
Yeah, you need money. So that's what it's all about. Amen. That's what I'm trying to show you from the Bible. I thank the Lord appointed this hour and these teaching to tell you how. To tell you how. Amen?
Amen.
Now here, and I want to find that story. Yeah. In the 23rd verse of this 11th chapter of Hebrews, I might get you to underline a few words that you're going to need to understand in order to qualify for prosperity. Now, we're actually talking about money because the Bible said this is a prosperity revival. The Lord said it, and he told me these words, money cometh. Say that, money cometh.
Money cometh.
Say it again.
Money cometh.
Say it again.
Money cometh.
Let's declare, I'll never be broke.
I'll never be broke.
Another day.
Another day.
In my life.
In my life.
Amen. Amen. And you know, it seemed like every time you say that, it seemed like something wrong with that. You know why? Because the world. You know, I feel a little, you know, I've been saying it a long time. You know, I'm over it. You know, I'm through with it. But just a little come up. I'll never be broke another day in my life. Something seemed like it trying to creep in on you. And it almost said, you shouldn't be saying that in the church. You know, those are not confessions you shouldn't make in a church. You shouldn't say that, but you'll never be broke another day in your life. But I heard the Spirit of God say it is possible for the body of Christ and say, have them declare and decree. Now, another thing I didn't tell you, I told earlier, and I'll just tell it now before we read these things. If you have money in the bank and in your checking account, that's not good enough. Get some dollars out, some money out and put in your pocket. And when you put your hand in your pocket, you don't feel broke. You know, have a little roll. If it's any more than $35, $40, just have it in there. And you know, just keep some money with you all the time. See, I keep some money with me all the time, but I don't want to pull it out now. But I got my hand around a little water money right here in my left pocket. And I found out this money ain't not evil. It don't do me nothing. You know, I found out that money, I thought, it's not hurting me. It don't make me sick. Yeah. That money, and it'll stay right there and just go wherever I go and do whatever I tell it to do.
Yeah.
It would. I'd go and I'd leave here tonight and take about 20 of y'all with me, and you and go to a nice place, and I'll tell that money, now do your thing, money. And tell them people, man, they'll come at me, they'll bring us stuff all night long. If they know I got the money, you know, they'll bring it. Then I just put it out of my pocket and say, oh, go ahead, money, do your stuff. And money, go ahead and do what I tell it to do. So money in itself, not evil. It's evil not to have some money. Because you're under the curse of the law. I hope y'all take these and go over these tables over and over again. These principles will start working in your life. I'm talking about principles that my wife and I have worked. Have came through for us. God's word is a show thing. You understand what I'm saying? God's word is a show thing. And I tell you, once you get it working, I mean, it's just working. Man, walk up to me and give me a $500. I told you, I got a check here for today. I got a $500 check today. Matter of fact, it came through one of my usher's hands. I was sitting minding my own business, praying, getting ready to come out here and teach you about prosperity. And here come prosperity, came to my office, came into my door, say, hello, Brother Thompson. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, I got it whether I told you or not, but I'm trying to share with the body of Christ and know that's a real thing, and God will do it for you. Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I told you I was going to tell you something before we read this. Did I tell you something? Well, what was I going to tell you? I told you we're going to read about... Oh, I told you. Yeah, I told you about it. Just, I told you. Now, how many of you men got money in your pocket yet or not? Don't raise your hand. But you holler, I got it in the bank. Yeah, but you can't feel it. So you really feel broke. You can have plenty of money in the bank, but you feel broke because you don't have it. You might want to run out to Baskin Robbins. You got to go to the bank to go to Baskin Robbins. You see what I'm saying? So you ought to have a dollar or something in your pocket. Amen.
Amen.
Practice keeping some money in your pocket. Now, I got this from a multimillionaire. But the Lord, I think the Lord was dealing with me about it because I had started doing it. But this man said he don't know what he worth. But he said years ago he habited himself to put some money in his pocket because he don't want to think broke. Yeah. See, that world system, the kind of old system that we should have.
Yeah.
Now, here are some things that you need to see in Hebrews chapter 11. Are we doing all right?
Yes.
How many of y'all can keep some money in your pocket? Yeah, get it out there and put it in your pocket. Yeah, you got some now. I know you do. Yeah, amen. Never know, God might want you to give some of it away. Amen. All right, verse 23 of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they was afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, here's another word. Here's a word right here. You need to underline. What's the next word?
Refuse.
I can't hear you.
Refuse.
Now listen, refuse to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. Do you know what that means? Do you know what Moses was refusing? Huh? The throne. He refused. See, there are some things, if you want godly prosperity, there are some things you're going to have to refuse. Matter of fact, I see Father Abraham in one time, some kings had a battle. We might get to that for this week out. And me and the pastor was talking about that. And the man wanted to give Abraham some of the spoil. Abraham said, no, I don't want no man to say that he made me rich. So he refused it, and I was talking to the pastor, and out of my utter amazement came out of my mouth, we were sitting over some sandwiches and barbecue, and out of my mouth came, Abraham did not want that man to contaminate his prosperity.
Amen.
Now, you may not know it And I said it kind of lightly this morning, but I don't receive from everybody. I don't see, you can't just get after money. People just, everybody bringing it to you is not from God. Some trying to get a leash on you. So they can turn you the way they want to go. And you got to watch that. You know, I tell the ministers here working with me, watch it. I don't mind these boys being blessed, but just don't let nobody buy you out against me. You know, you got to watch that, you know. They say, yeah, and they won't talk. They won't feed you. Don't eat at everybody's house. Some people just won't feed you, but in the feeding, they won't lead you. Yeah, Pastor, that's some of the things, you know, I deal with. You have to have wisdom of God. You don't hurt people's feelings. You say, no, thank you. See? Now, don't get upset because I tell you no, thank you, one time you invite me. I might have somewhere else to go. I haven't had much problem here at this church. I think one time I turned down something in the school of ministry. They wanted to give me, and I turned it down because of the situation I was dealing with. And I just had the flat foot say no. The ceremony was going on, and they had the gift come to me, and this class had bought it for me. But when the presentation was being made, when it was brought, I just said, no, I don't want it, and walked up and took my seat. Well, it hurt me to do it, but I had to do it. It's certain things you got to do, and you can't grab at everything. Now, Moses refusing this, he was refusing riches, the worldly riches, the throne, the palace. But he refused to be called, and you don't have no such thing as these get-rich-quick schemes. And they mail you all this stuff in the mail and tell you, you know, I mean, we got hooked on that thing one time. Went all down in on the islands. Got out there and the people thought they were going to give us a gift. And then we got down there and they would tell us we got to go here and go there. Look at this and look at this and look at that. I said, doggone it, I'm going to get in my car. I ain't looking at all this. That's another way to get prosperous in all this foolishness. You know, the letter sounds so good. You know, you get down there, you got certain things. So me and my wife drove all down to Slidell, you know. We've been through it now. We've been all on in Slidell. Went on the other side, all on the other side of New Orleans. Got down and they got us in the room. Here they come now. Now we got to qualify. I thought we was qualified when they sent our name. They're telling me about buying shares in this and buying shares in that. Look like some of y'all real familiar with it. Buying shares in here, buying shares in that. We all want it, you know. You know, you want to qualify. You want to be prosperous, you know. And if it looked like an opportunity, you go after it. Yeah. Yeah. And they keep feeding you a little bit, you know, like a man fishing. You know, they put a little bait out there, they show you something nice, and now you could have this. Then they won't show you the little plots. And that's class, there's no such thing as something for nothing.
That's right.
And by the time you go all over the world, you can buy you a nice TV. Messing around with them failing folk. And they just sell your name anyway. Then you got 35 more to deal with.
Yeah.
Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Anybody ever tried any of that?
Yeah.
Whole house just about. You know why? Because you want it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you a sure thing here. In the Word of God. Boy, I was excited to go on the slide there, man. I was wide open. I said, we'll hit the jackpot. Oh, I end up being a jack. Yeah. I thought we'd hit it. I said, he just chose my name. I'm the chosen of the Lord. Oh, my goodness. I felt so foolish and so bad. Got my wife going with me on that thing. My wife, a college graduate. We should have knew better than that. There's no such thing as something for nothing. And so God couldn't be no less. He has to put some qualifications for some things for you to do, because if you get something for nothing, you're not going to appreciate it. So notice here, he refused. Everybody say refuse.
Refuse.
Now write that word down. One of the qualifications of going into godly prosperity is some things you're going to refuse. That's going to try to substitute itself for the real thing. And then a choice will have to be made. In verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Sin, pleasure only lasts for a season. The pleasure of sin for a season. But I want you to underline the word choosing and just put the word choice. You got to make choices. Godly prosperity consists of choices. I choose to favor God's righteous cause. I choose. Nobody can make Frank Smith. Nobody. What's your first name, baby?
Mildred.
Yeah, you know I know you, but I'm in there. Nobody can make Mildred. Nobody can make Arden. You know I usually miss your name. Nobody can take Janet. Nobody can take her and make her. You don't know what I'm saying yet. Make her tied. Now, these four people, nobody can take them and make them. Not even the preacher. But they have a choice.
That's right.
I choose to. Now listen to what I'm saying. I choose to obey God because if I obey God, I'll eat the good of the land and I'll be a blessing to others. So it's a charge. It's not a feeling. You can't feel tidy. See? Here he says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. But I just wanted to get that word choice out there. He made a choice. Then notice in verse 26, you got another word. First word, verse 26. What that mean? With the word honor? Huh? Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. Now exactly, you have a combination, a comparison of Christ, of the Lord, and of the world now. See, comparison of the two. He said, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt. See, he turned down the treasure in Egypt for Christ. And you have to make a decision that you'll turn down the treasures of this world for Christ to honor his faithful cause. But when you do it, he'll turn right back and give you better treasures.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Esteem the report of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt. And that's something you have to forsake too. See? So I just want to go through that and get those words. One, refuse. Two, choose. Three, honor. And the other one is forsake, some things you have to forsake. Now, let's go to the first song. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're going to qualify for this thing.
Yeah.
I think, let's turn to the first psalm and let's go to 3 John. Because godly prosperity is actually based on spiritual altitude. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
So let's just go to 3 John. Need not try to teach about prosperity without going to 3 John. Now notice in 3 John, verse 1, the elders unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. I love in the truth. I'm in 3 John. You notice he made that statement, I love in the truth. Remember Jesus said something about truth. Jesus said more, a lot of things about truth. In John 14:16, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Then he said in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth. Didn't he?
Yes.
Now notice this. The elders unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. You see the qualification for prosperity there? Huh?
Yeah.
He's talking about your soul prospering. It is the qualifying factor for prosperity. But then he goes on to say, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth, that is again, that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. That's three times if you truth. And then they say, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Yeah. Everybody say truth.
Truth.
Notice verse 1, you have truth. Yeah. Verse 3, you have truth twice, right? Yeah. Then in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, to qualify for godly prosperity, you, number one, we read in the 35th Psalm, 27th verse, you got to favor his righteous cause, did not? Then we read that you have to. Then we read that you have to refuse some things. Some things you have to choose. Some things you have to. You have to honor the Lord, and then that's qualified in Proverbs. Honor the Lord with the first with thy substance and the first of thy increase. Yeah. Yeah. I told you, you can be all of you, although in Christ you're on the team, right. But it doesn't mean you're playing. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want the ball myself. Man, I don't like to be on a team just running, ducking around, talking about, hey, give me the ball, give me the ball. I want the ball. Give me the ball. If I don't do no more than fall, give me the ball. I want the ball. I want to play in the game some. You know, some people hold the ball from everybody, you know, they hold the ball from you. And they got their pet friend, they're throwing the ball to them. And you play, hey, man, I'm playing with y'all too. But thank God, oh, you ready for this? Thank God everybody on this team can have their own ball. Hallelujah. And guess what? Guess what? I got mine. I'm shooting every day. I'm shooting for higher mark. See? Now, the question is, do you have yours? Don't lie now. You can sense when you got the ball.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
But it there's enough ball for everybody in this game.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless his holy name. Bless all his holy angels.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't know about you, but this truth is stirring up in me.
Yes.
God, somebody said, God's truth is marching on.
God's truth is marching on.
Hallelujah. Set you free. And set you free in this area of finances. It'll put you in a place of being prosperous. Glory to God. I wanted you to notice. Go to the first Psalm now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Y'all getting anything out of this?
Yes.
If you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But the thing I think the Lord is quite, see, you have to qualify for prosperity. Some people are not qualifying for godly prosperity, and they're good people, but you just got this guideline. There's rules, there's laws that have been set in motion, and you have to follow those laws. The laws of sowing and reaping is in motion. The law of giving and receiving, they are in motion. You can't say good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You can't just say that. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. You can't say that. The law will not work. Good measure. Sound good, don't it? Pressed down, shaking over, running over. Should man giving you a bosom, men giving you a bosom. No, you can't say that. Now, how many of you know why you can't say that? Don't tell me out loud. Here's a little test right here. Good measure, shaking down, pressing together, running over. Should men giving to your bosom. Don't talk out on me now. How many know why you can't say that? Look at here. Don't stick your hand up in the line now, because I'm going to call on somebody. Good measure. See, the Holy Ghost brought that up. I like the Holy Ghost. Good measure, shaking together, running over. Pressed down, running over. Sure, men giving your bosom. Now, why you can't say that? Well, wait, hold it. I want to know how many know they can't say that. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. What? Good measure. Oh, you holding your hand up. Oh, you know? Yeah, you better know. Don't hold me back. One word qualify for you to say that whole thing. One word hold your good measure. Shaking together, pressed down, running over back. If you don't have that one word, you miss the whole clue. And you don't qualify for that verse. Oh, can't you see it? What it is, Debbie?
Give.
Give. All right, now turn to that voice and go ahead and underline that word, circuit, put an arrow to it. If you got a red, put some red around it and just get that one word. You got to get that one word. See, I'm talking about qualifying for prosperity. Yes, you're on the team, but you don't have the ball. See, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Therefore, we are on the team. Every believer on the team, but every believer, many of us sitting on the bench. And I'm telling you, when a team hot, they're not going to throw you the ball on the bench. You out of the qualifying line. We lose the ball to throw it to you. If God would throw the ball of prosperity to you, we'll lose the ball. Because you're outside of the qualification line. So you can't say it, good measure, shaking together, pressed down, running over. You cannot say that by itself. You got to have give. Give is the thing, give, the word give is the thing called the good measure, the pressing down, the shaking together, and the running over. The coming existence. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
I said, are you listening to me?
Yes.
Now let's go on over to the first Psalm.
Yes. Hallelujah.
We're talking about how to qualify for prosperity. Most believers are not qualified for prosperity. I said to you, over 85, I'm going up all the time, you notice that? Over 85 of the Papakita. Over Fasina. Yeah. Over 85% of the body of Christ, you're broke. You're in debt. You're in distress and you're in discontentment. And you take them checks and you get to the house and you go over them bills and go over them bills and you never get to the end.
Amen.
That's sad. But God wanna break that up. Thank God we're gonna let him do it.
Yes.
We're coming out of debt.
Amen.
I'll never be broke another day in my life. Say it.
Money
cometh.
Money
cometh.
Money
cometh. What that mean?
Continuously.
Continuously. What is for? Not for what?
Covetous.
Not for covetousness. Hallelujah. You getting it? Now notice here, I think this is one of the most qualifying, I had some, but I lost it. I think this is the most qualifying chapters in the Bible. But it got a commentary on this psalm. How many know the commentary on Psalm 1? I taught it to you one time. There's one verse in the Bible that is a commentary to Psalm 1. It's Psalm 1 in a nutshell. You know it, Elgin? Joshua 1 and 8. Let's turn to Joshua 1 and 8. Then we'll come back. God had a girl here look so much like you the other night. I'm telling you, that woman here, who knew I was looking at that woman back there in the corner? Huh? She not here tonight? No, my God. One of y'all daddy. No, I ain't. Oh, my goodness. Something happened. Boy, that girl, that woman had a hat and everything cut. Don't she look like it? I want you to look at Lee White before you leave here. Goodness, I thought she had come in here, man. I said, goodness. We're looking for Joshua 1:8, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Where is Joshua? Yeah, it is in the Bible. I mean, sometimes I can't find, I don't even know the books of the Bible. So I got to be looking. I know all y'all learn them in Sunday school. I learned them, but I forgot them. I try to know something about the Bible. Just the book, you know. Notice in Joshua 1 and 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then. Everybody say, for then.
For then.
Not before then. That's just like might.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You might have life. It didn't say you're going to have. You might have life, that I come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. Use might twice. That the blessing of Abraham might. Didn't say it was going to definitely come upon you, but you had to qualify for it. Now here he says, after you not let the word depart out of your mouth, meditate day and night, observe and do according to all that is written therein. Then he said, for then thou shall, God shall. God shall. Now I'm finna ask a question. Don't holler out too fast because you embarrass yourself. Why are you broke? Why are you broke? You know, a lot of you all want to stand up and holler out, I'm not broke. But you know it's not good to lie in church. You have a good job. You've been on that job for a long time. Why in the world are you broke? Now, when I say broke, I ain't talking about them $30 you got. I'm talking about why you broke. You see what I'm saying? It's a trick. The devil been playing on us. God want us to prosper. You know anybody, just because you got a car and a house, you ain't fooling nobody. It's when you gather around that table the first of the month or the end of the month. That's when the truth come out, when them doors locked. And they be, fussing about how you going, sometimes cussing, how you going to make it. Boy, it's an ugly thing to be broke. I've been there, but I ain't going to be broke no more. I made my mind up. I knew I got divine revelation from my father. My father said I can have it. I don't care what nobody say, how they persecute me, how they talk about me. I'm going to stay on top. I'm going to support the gospel. But I'm going to have me some money in my pocket. And you can't say this in Navy Church because people are real religious. And they say, you know, they say the preacher's stealing. Lord, if you keep him humble, we'll keep him broke. That was a Pentecostal expression. How you like for a broke preacher to be telling you about the goodness of God? Sit down, Reverend. You don't know nothing yourself. Come on, sit down here beside me so you can recall somebody from out of state to preach this thing. Because you broke. You in worse shape than I am. Boy, I really can get in trouble here. Yeah. For then thou shalt make thy way. Who make your way?
Thou.
Who is thou?
Me.
Make thy way prosper, and then thou shalt have good success. But you have to qualify for this. You're on the team, but you don't have the ball. Now go in Psalm 1. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I've preached enough here this last week and these two Sundays. You don't need to be broke. You ought to know better than being broke. If you broke and can't get out of debt, you ain't sin. Oh, now, Reverend. Well, let me make a statement that adjacent to that. I made it when I found out about healing. If you're sick and can't get well, you're in sin. Amen. And most of us are being robbed because of a dime. A dime got us in bondage. One dime. You know, it would be something if it'd be $10. Or $10,000, but one dime got you in bondage if you're not a tither. Rob for a dime. Blessed is the man, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. We're qualifying now. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You see that? Remember what 3 John said, beloved, I wish above all things that thou prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Well, this is soul prosperity here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. They'll keep you broke. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. That'll keep you broke. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That'll keep you broke. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
But... Everybody say but.
But
his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Oh, glory to God. Here's prosperity. And he shall be like a tree. Glory to God. He shall be like a, are you like a tree tonight? And he shall be like a tree. What kind of tree? Planted. Planted. Everybody say planted. Planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now look at this. Oh my goodness. Hale mapasina. Longlis tamasia. Oh! His leaf shall not wither. Oh my God, look at here. Now this is almost too good to read. And whatsoever, everybody say whatsoever, and just tell me, tell me whatsoever mean. Listen. Listen. I've been there and I'm going to stay there. There's a place that you get with God, seem like everything you touch turn to gold. See, as a place you, you know, now this sound might sound sacrilegious and it may sound like a, you know, something fictitious, or it may sound like a, I don't know how it happened, to tell you the truth, but you know when they talk about God, if they ever do a seen abundant above all that you ask or think, I mean, I've got into the thinking blessing. Now, somewhere down the line, I'm probably saying it, but you know, I don't have to say it over and over. I don't have to be a parakeet no more. I might have said it one time in a conversation, talking to somebody about it, and walk off from it, and just let it cross my mind a few times, and here it comes. Now, you say you have any scripture for that? Well, do you have any against it? But I'm saying, you see, well, Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that, when you get that power to working, boy, and you go to thinking about things, them angels, wings, stand straight up. Them angels so glad to hear somebody with some good spiritual sense, that the angels tired sitting around, and when they hear somebody, thinking, right. And they said, well, man, they haven't said nothing yet, but let's go. I'm ready to go. I'm tired sitting here on my wing. And angels say, yeah, I dare you thinking loud. They're looking for somebody to give it to. See, we got angelical being. Listen, oh my goodness, turn to Hebrew. I'm going to just tell you a little bit how to put your angel to work. Your angel will go out there and get that money for you and bring it in. He'll go out there and influence, shake somebody's arm and say, look, go to Rana. Go bring him something. Oh, glory to God. We'll close after a while. I'm just going to preach a little longer. Lee just got you. I'm going to preach about 20 more minutes for him. And I'm saying the man coming that far, you know, and getting in on it. He's been trying to get you, I know, in him and his group. So we just want to preach a little longer for them, just for them. You might get something out of it. Hebrew, that's my son. They're coming in here. Yeah, amen. Some more coming in tonight. God. Hebrews. Do you have your angel working for you? Talking about in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time sit on my right hand until I make thy enemy thy footstool? Here's a question, you know. Then he says, are they not all ministering spirit? Angels, listen, and you see all in the Bible, they're ministering to people, saints. See, angels, they're really alive today, and they're still activated. Matter of fact, every individual here, you have your own angel. Now, I have two illustrations here. Kathy, Marion's daughter, was in Marion's house in the back room, and that big 9 feet, something angel showed up. And I mean, Kathy said she wanted out the room. Because of all awesomeness and the fear come on you when those angels show up. And same with my son. My son, we had bunk bed. He was younger then, my oldest son. He was laying on the top of his bed with his hand behind his head, just looking up at the ceiling, and all of a sudden over his bed, darkness came, and he looked up and heard this creature, this big angel, with his wings spread out, right hovering over his bed. And he tried to call us, he said, but his mouth was working, but nothing wasn't coming out. Then I'll tell you another time. You see, that's a thing called discerning of spirit. There's another time when we were, when Leroy was about 4 or 5 years old, or a little younger. We were at in Orlando, Florida, at Disney World. And they had the parade going through. I'm trying to get to the qualification of angels now. And they had the parade going through and had all these lights flashing and you know, things going on in that parade. We were watching the Disney parade come through. And Leroy, as a young boy, he asked Mom, "What else did you see?" I think his mama said, "She knows she talked about the very thing." And he said, "Oh, I saw Jesus. He was right hanging right over there." And the mama asked him, said, "What did he had on?" He said he had a white gown and sandals on. And then mama kept talking to him and said, who else did you see, mama? She started talking about the other things, you know. He said, "I saw the Holy Ghost." I said, "I got him now." So his mama asked him what the Holy Ghost had on. This 3 or 4 or 5 years old kid said, "He didn't have on anything, Daddy. He just was pretty." And then I had my brother and my sister-in-law was with us on this trip, and they hear this 4 or 5 year old boy. See, sometimes spiritual thing, it bring a fear on you, and you got a reverence on you. And he said to his mom, "Now, Mom, don't need to tell nobody. Don't tell Uncle Cocky," he called him Uncle Cocky. "Don't tell Uncle Cocky and Aunt Shirley about this, you know." And we questioned him and left, back, forward, sideways. And I'll tell you another thing happened. My 6-year-old now, he's 6 now. My daddy died in a train accident. 1969. Died in a train accident. It was in my car. Coming back home from taking my little sister to work. And the train hit him on the blind side. They said they had some other thing going on during that time. We just left it alone. But my daddy died. Well, I never knew of my daddy confessing the Lord Jesus Christ. See, I want to tell you about supernatural things that will help you in this life. I never knew of my daddy ever going to church, ever telling me about Jesus, ever reading the Bible. He just was a good man and took care of his family. My mama, I used to go to church with my mama. My mama was Catholic, so therefore I went through catechism and all that and got wet and all that stuff, you know. They sprinkled me and I said, "Hail Mary, full of grace, glory be to the Father." And I went in a boot and told the priest what I wanted him to know and said what I told him to say, what he told me to say, and the rest I kept to myself. Wasn't saved nowhere. Ain't nothing I could say but help me, Jesus, you know, and get born again. But the priest told me, say 2 Our Father and 3 Hail Mary, and I come out the boot feeling pretty good. So I was reared as a Catholic boy, as a lost Catholic boy. And so when my daddy died, I know there's a supernatural world. Hallelujah. When my daddy died, me wanting to be a straight preacher, and I didn't ever heard him confess Christ, and I've heard so many in the Baptist church try to put people in heaven and lie, but who knows, that you know, they might have made it at the last second. Well, I didn't want to deal with that. So I just say, my daddy gone to hell. I just say, my God, I won't see him no more. Well, we were sitting to the kitchen table the other day, and my 6-year-old boy said, he had caught up in a vision. And you see, children are more in tune to God than we are adults, because we are adults, you know. We make up our own mind how we're going to do things. And the Bible says, except you become as a child, you'll receive things of the Spirit. Well, he said, I saw your daddy, my 6-year-old. I saw your daddy when he was killed in that train accident. And he said, I was suspended up in heaven, he said, and I looked down, I come down, he said, and I came down to the roof. I saw him when he was killed in the train accident. Now, this boy had never seen my daddy. 6 years old, he's still 6. Just this happened about 2 months ago. He said, I saw your daddy. I came down. I saw him killed in a train accident, and I saw him down in that box. I looked at him. Now listen very closely. He said, and then I was caught back up into heaven. And he said, I saw him in heaven. And he said, I was about to ask him, what are you doing here? And said, the Lord told me, said, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. In essence, you know, I got an interpretation of that quickly. The Lord was telling me, it's not your business what he's doing here. But there's my six-year-old son who now, and I know without a shadow of doubt, my daddy in heaven. The Lord revealed it to me through my six-year-old son. Because one thing, my son had no idea about the train. He knew we saved his kid a train. But he just started talking at the table, man, with divine authority. I know when I hear the voice of God, the Lord came to me to get me straight. I repented. I tell you, a lot of people going to be in heaven you think not going to be there. And a lot of people you think going to be there not going to be there. I want to tell you that because I want you to know that there are supernatural revelations, supernatural beings to help you in the realm of finances. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, not they all ministering spirit. Well, ministering spirit means they are the minister. I remember my wife and I, when we were coming into the land of prosperity, we used to send angels. Medicine spirit, go and cause the money to come. And we believed it all our heart, and undoubtedly they went and brought it to come because it's there. See, your angel is disgusted with you. And sometimes they go by the Lord, Lord, assign me to somebody else. This person here is just as ignorant as they can be. They don't even know they have supreme help. And I'm tired just following them around being stupid. Give me another assignment. Or let me go help Leroy Angel. Now, biblically, every one of us has an angel. And you can talk to your angel. You can tell him what the situation is and tell him, ministering spirit in the name of Jesus, go and do this. And he'll go and do it. Come on home here. Oh, my goodness, we live below our means as supreme beings. You didn't hear that? Oh, my goodness, we live below our being as supreme beings. We are supreme being. We're in a divine universe. We're in a divine whirlwind. We're in a divine setup by Almighty God. Jehovah Jireh is our provider. Are you listening to me? We have a divine information, divine court system that comes from God. We have a divine commodity, a divine force called faith. That can cause things to come out of the spirit world into the natural world. Yes. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Yes. That which is physical was spiritual first. We have the ability to frame our own world by calling things that be not as though they were. Yes. We need to call prosperity into being and line up with the qualification of being prosperous and not sitting in the seat of the scornful. Yes. Standing in the way of sinner, yes. But delighting ourselves in the Lord. Yes. Say this with me. The Lord don't want me broke.
The Lord don't want me broke. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Glory to God. I said glory to God.
Glory to God.
So these angels, are they not all ministering spirit sent forth? You see, can you read?
Yes.
Sent forth to what?
Minister.
To what?
Minister.
Minister, or to be minister to?
Minister.
To minister, yes, for them.
Yeah.
Not to them.
Yeah.
For them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my goodness. them who shall be asked. Boy, if I'd have had that this morning. I talked about our airship this morning. Ask, minister for them who to be. Well, that's, yeah, that's good. We'll have a little fun with it now. 10 minutes, turn back to Romans 8. Glory to God. Those who are heirs. Let's see, we qualify. How many of you were here this morning when I was preaching on that second service? My goodness. This is good, isn't it? This right, this right, yes, it's nitty gritty. That boy said on that tape that we've been having planned by Lynn Mack, you've been serving the wrong God. The barely getting along God. I served him for 10 years in the Baptist church. I knew he was the wrong God. I ain't had him on one black suit. That thing was shining like lightning. That got to be the wrong God. That Bible read one way and here I am another way. That black suit, I pressed that thing every way but loose. All the lining was falling out that thing. That was the wrong God. That was the tradition of God. That was the Baptist God. Hallelujah. Listen, we are asked. I know that. I can prove that right quick in Romans chapter 8. But the Lord said it in three categories for us to really get it in 17 verse. And if children then as of God and joint as with Christ. That is right there. So he said that these ministering spirits back in the 14th verse, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them? Who shall be, we are. As of salvation. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now let's go back over some things. Money cometh to the body of Christ for covenant reason, that we'll have enough money to support the gospel, but have all our need met. As I read about Job this morning, I saw God give the description of Job, and he began to turn right back there again. He began to tell about Job in the aspect of Job being a holy man, and some of us so holy we can't get blessed. You know, we won't be so righteous. And we think poverty is part of our righteousness. But poverty is part of your stupidity. Because righteousness knows that God wants them blessed. Amen. The Bible tells us in the first chapter of Job, you just turn there, I'm going to talk about it in a few minutes. Give us a description of Job. Tell us about Job's holiness in the first one or two verses. Upright man, eschewed evil. Talking about Job, you know. Talking about how holy Job was. But then it looked like the Lord took a turn on us with Job. He started telling us some other qualifying factors of Job. He started telling about how many Job had 3,000 camels, 500 asses, 7,000 sheep. What is the Lord telling us about all this worldly stuff for? What is a holy God talking about all this worldly stuff for? Because we're in the world. And we need some stuff here to survive properly. Because I never got on a plane and say hallelujah and they told me to take the first row seat. I'm telling you, and listen, God had to really work with me I'm telling you, I passed them big seats. I'm going right back to them small seats on the plane. You know, I look at them big seats, boys, they look nice. Going, here I go. I'm trained like a little trained dog. Going back to row 26. Right over the wing. Here I go. Right over the wing. Yeah, all dressed up. Yeah, going right to the wing. And the Spirit of God kept saying, what you keep passing those seats up for? When you going to have faith for those seats? You know, I said, oh, Lord, I don't want to spend the money like that, you know. Go on back to row 26. And so one time they boosted me up. They couldn't find no seat in the back. And so they had these other two people with me. And that man said, oh, I'm probably going to have to catch another flight. And I had one seat way in the back. He said, I'll probably end up with that seat. I said, I'm going in first class. Yeah. I said, I'm going to go in first class. They're going to boot me up. And they put me in there. And I sat in that big seat and had nobody to bother me. And had elbow room. I said, Lord, this look more like you than back there. I'm sitting with two strangers back there and they're all talking. I can't even meditate and can't pray, can't do nothing. So another time, something else happened to get me in first class. Huh? You remember what happened? Didn't mean the same thing. I mean, God kept kicking me up in first class. They boot me up again. I mean, they said, well, sir, we're going to, as she's telling me bad news, you know. Well, sir, we're going to have to put you in first class. I said, yeah, fine. I'll take it. No argument. The second time, I made my mind up. God is a first class God.
Yes.
From this day forward, I'm flying first class.
Hallelujah.
I'm not passing this pretty big old cushion seat up no more.
Amen.
One of them going to be blown to me when I fly. And I talked to another minister about that, and he told me, he was a singer. Him and I was on a crusade together. I'm still talking about prosperity, you know. Him and I was on a crusade together, and he was talking about how he fly for his class. And he said, God can get some more money, but he can't get no more like me. See? He said, I'm taking care of God's servant so I can do more in the gospel. God always can get his hand on some more money, so I fly first class so I won't be bothered. And thank God. I tell you, one of my sons got a hold of this. I mean, he was driving for miles. You'll know him, Patrick Randall. He'll be here tomorrow night. Patrick used to drive away. I said, son, you're just killing yourself. I said, go ahead and believe God. So I went out and ministered at his church, and his church took off. It doubled in a little while, and the finances doubled. And he went on and bought him a new Continental. Boy, he happy. He got them big long legs, you know. He got him a new Continental, and then he called me dad sometimes. He said, Dad, I'm here. He said, but man, I flew in for his class. When I'm long leg, you need to be in for his class. Now that boy can stretch his long legs out and lay back, because he's in first class. But it's the proof. If somebody just show it to you, that it could be done. Now see, some of y'all sit here and say, oh, we need to fly a coach. Save some money. You don't need to save no money. God got plenty of money.
Yeah.
That's what's wrong with you now. You're penny in it. You're eating where you don't want to eat, and you're sleeping where you don't want to sleep. And you're going there in what you don't want to go in. Because you're not in the will of God. But bless God, we're taking a hold of this thing. Huh? Money coming. Set your heart. If you're going to do it in flying, some of y'all never flew before. Do you know cars are more dangerous than planes? Because you got more fools on the ground than you got in there. See, most of them plan drivers, they're trained, but you got anybody driving. Anybody can get a license to drive a car. Very seldom you hear a plane crash because they had an alcoholic driving. Get you to check them out. Start thinking big. I read that boy Ben Carson book. And I began to buy them and give them to young men. Ben is a black boy. He's the top head surgeon. Ben come from a real low-class family, but his mama used to work in other people's house, and she used to come home and sit down and tell him about what the master had in his house. You can have the same thing.
Yeah.
She used to tell him, boy, you can be exactly what you want to be. And she was hard on Ben in school, and Ben rose up to the top of his class. Now he's making some of the biggest money in the world. You got to get your thinking straight. You can't think Darrow.
Hallelujah.
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 How many of y'all Lee and his group and Charles here for the first time, but how many, anybody else here for the first time in this meeting? My goodness, yes, sir. Yes, yes, all right, amen. Amen, I see, yeah, amen. Well, every head bowed, every eye closed.
Dr. Leroy Thompson is the president and founder of Ever Increasing Word Ministries, an outreach ministry of the Word of Life Christian Center in Darrow, Louisiana. For more information on this dynamic teaching ministry, visit our website at www.eiwm.org. Or you can write Dr. Thompson at P.O. Box 7, Darrow, Louisiana, 70725.